Good morning. It is Sunday, September 22nd, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellum. Support for KUAF comes from Edible Ozarks, Arkansas. Launching later this month, this quarterly magazine focuses on food, farms, and culture in the Ozarks. Proceeds will benefit hunger relief efforts through Feed Fayetteville and Feed Communities. More information, including subscriptions, available at edibleozarkansas.com.
The KUAF website giveaway is offering passes to the Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival. It takes place October 17th through the 19th in Ozark. Performers include Les Claypool's Duo DeTwang, Green Sky Bluegrass, Justin Town Earl, and others. Workshops, various vendors, and outdoor activities will be offered. The drawing is Friday, October 4th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration is available at KUAF.com.
Ahead on this edition of Weekend Ozarks, a student-led sex education week, two brothers who make canoes in Avoca, and we step inside Sun's Chapel near Goshen.
But first, most of us expect it to be there when we want it, and even get frustrated when it doesn't work properly or fast enough. The internet. According to a report last month by the Pew Research Center, 20% of Americans aren't connected at all, with Arkansas ranked 48th in the nation for people with access to the internet. I spoke with potential stakeholders about how this affects the education of Arkansans and possible measures to remove the barriers to connectivity. According to last spring's TEDx Fayetteville talk by Rebecca Miles and Javier Reyes, 30% of Americans complete a four-year college degree in 4 years, yet just 20% of Arkansans do the same. And just 14% of Arkansans have a college degree. More and more people are forced to get college degrees whether they want to or not. It's now the barrier to obtaining most professional careers, says Dr. Rebecca Miles.
If I have children or I live in a small town where I can't move to get a college degree, I'm not able to get that degree that allows me either entry to a job or a better salary to the job that I want to have. Technology allows people, if we put all the pieces together, to stay in their hometown and still get that same college degree without having to move to Fayetteville or wherever else they might want to move. So it allows me to learn, move ahead, keep pace with my peers both locally and nationally if I have access and get the education that I want.
Miles is a management professor at the University of Arkansas. There's also a direct correlation between education and economic development. It starts with education, providing a base for entrepreneurship and setting up new jobs and allowing individuals to recognize opportunities. Dr. Javier Reyes is the Vice Provost for Distance Education at the University of Arkansas's Global Campus.
Being now that we have the technology to disseminate education through online media in a way that it's effective, that has the quality that you want to have, and now it can have the reach that you currently couldn't have with a face-to-face environment, that is what the correlation is. You're going to be able to have a higher number of educated population in order to be able to have a higher impact in economic development. Now, it's not only about the four-year degree, it's not only about the associate's degree, it's also about certificate, it's also about training programs. So that's what I think it's the correlation that exists between more technology, more connectivity, and have a highly educated population.
For Miles, education means three things. If one has a college education, they are more likely to encourage their kids to go, a sort of pay it forward. Second, a more educated population can understand complicated documents better, laws, real estate papers, and when voting, it helps to understand the issues, so educated people can make more informed decisions, whether personal or public.
And then the third one is it would make me happy if people would look at Arkansas potential employers not just as a vast wasteland of near the bottom educated people, but look at those folks in Arkansas. They have beautiful land, they have lots of land, and they care about how educated their citizens are. So if I move my company there, I'm partnering with those folks in order to have a highly educated workforce.
There is a difference between connectivity and accessibility. Reyes says there are three barriers to accessibility.
Is there no connectivity because the end user doesn't have access to an internet connection, or they have access but they don't have the income to pay for it, or they may have access, the income, but they're not aware of the benefits? So it's about finding which one of these three is really the barrier and why we're not connected in, when we look at national rankings.
It's different for everybody, and Reyes says that in some places it's a combination of the three. In some areas of Arkansas, say the Delta, where connectivity is low, awareness is low, and incomes are low. It is difficult to raise awareness as to how the internet could be a benefit. For many jobs in this day and age, you have to apply online. If you aren't connected, you don't even know the jobs are there. For Reyes, awareness is the biggest barrier.
It's about what is the benefit of having an email account? What is the awareness, or what is the benefit of having the awareness of how to navigate the internet? What is it for? So, and when you see the kids now, even in the schools, in the K-12 system, what they're learning, how they're learning, how they can in a day build a report from a painting that it's at the Louvre in Paris, and you can get a virtual tour of the Louvre online. That kind of creativity, that kind of, it's opening their minds. And if we don't have that in our state, we keep falling behind and more and more and more. That we need to get that access. We need to make sure that people see what is the benefit. We need to raise awareness of how important that is to create the young minds and create the really the culture of having more innovation, more technology embedded in our everyday lives, so we can start really making the machinery run again at the speed that other states and other nations are running.
He says that it cannot be done with just universities. It needs to be a combination of the private sector and the public sector, and not just in higher education. The report card on American education from the American Legislative Exchange Council ranks Arkansas's public schools at 45th in the nation. Governor Mike Beebe sees the relation between connectivity and education, evidenced by the start of a task force, Faster Arkansas. Faster, fast access for students, teachers, and economic results. It's a group of business leaders, technical experts, and political experts trying to push forward broader and faster internet access in all of the public schools in Arkansas. Jerry Jones, an executive vice president with Axiom in Little Rock, is chair of the group.
It was our collective belief, certainly the belief of the governor, that even though Arkansas had gotten off to a good start back in 1992, it would fall in way behind. And it was time for us not just to catch up, but to get ahead. And so hence he asked me to bring this group together. We're meeting regularly. We're divided into various subcommittees. And hopefully by the end of this calendar year, we will have a set of very, very specific recommendations on the governor's desk that hopefully will be persuasive to him to go to the special session of the legislature that's primarily the financial session of the legislature in January and February and adopt whatever changes in Arkansas law need to be adopted to move forward.
Jones says Faster Arkansas is looking at the speeds and capacity levels that should be adopted by schools. He referenced a Cisco report that recommends in 5 years, students should have access to a 2 gigabyte per second capacity in order to have a functioning school. He says Arkansas can't do that initially. While there are some small rural districts with no broadband access at all, larger districts don't have sufficient capacity to support all of the needed online usage. Often, not everyone that needs on can get on. It will also be a problem when Common Core standards are enacted next year. Testing will be completed via the internet, and Arkansas will not be able to comply with the standards without more capacity. Faster will start with the schools, but want to make sure that what they do can be utilized by communities, which is where the ER in the name comes from, economic results.
Our strategy is, first, we're going to focus on the school districts and the school buildings, and we're going to make suggestions there, and we're going to try to drive some very, very rapid change there because we got to catch up. Coming in on top of that is, what can the state of Arkansas do to help make sure that the internet is ubiquitous, that you have access to the internet at a reasonable price. It's not going to be free, but at a reasonable price anywhere within the state of Arkansas. One of the benefits that we have in making this effort right now is that the cost of technology is going down instead of up in this respect when you think of the amount of accessibility and capacity. So this is the beginning of a longer-term strategy. It's a continuum of efforts. We can't solve everything on day one, but hopefully we can start helping make the decisions that are necessary to have the proper guidelines, policy, and strategy.
Helping to get internet access to rural citizens is Ron Grigg of Deluxe Information Systems in Springdale. For 11 years, he has been providing broadband through links and towers around the region, sending out 2.5 gigahertz, which is higher than an AM-FM broadcast, from 65 locations such as Mount Kessler, Mount Sequoia, and Robinson Mountain, to about 700 customers who didn't have any other option for internet access.
It's too expensive for Cox or AT&T to run fiber or coax out into a low-density area. And so, they focus on towns and communities, but people that live off out. And I mean, I've got clients that are 5-10 miles away from my towers, and the primary requirement is to have a clear line of sight and be able to see the tower with the antenna they're connecting with. And so I'm not able to reach everybody, but anybody that's got a clear view to one of my tower locations has got the chance of getting some good broadband.
Companies charge customers that want access about $10 per foot of cable that needs to be laid, way out of the budget for most people. Grigg agrees that it is important for people to have access for education, work, and even safety.
Well, the biggest thing is school. You know, the school children have to have it anymore for doing their schoolwork, submitting schoolwork, getting their grades, communications between the parents and the teachers. A lot of people have started working from home to save all the driving. So there's a world of information there at your fingertips, and you can connect anywhere in the world.
Bringing internet to rural customers can be likened to events of 75 to 80 years ago, when homes that never had light were wired for electricity. Here's Dr. Miles and Dr. Reyes.
We did not think that electricity was a public good. And perhaps it's time to think about internet access as a public good.
And the truth is, sometimes we have to understand that the cost of making it available will not necessarily be paid by the kids who are getting access now. But once they're in, the benefit that society and that these areas will see in the coming years, it's what we have to figure out how to do it, how to make sure that we take the return on investment, the present value of that return investment, and really cost it out today.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large.